buried. But thank God he did not
stand.
He didn't stay there. Right. He rose again the third day. Because he rose, because he lived, we now live.
Right.
And truly, we thank God for that. Amen. We just thank God for yesterday's homegoing service. I ask you to stand. Amen. We thank God for yesterday's homegoing service with Sister Maggie. You know, and we're going to ask you to continue that train of thought. In life, there's so many things that happen that we can't explain. And as we said on yesterday with Sister Maggie, in life, many times, there are more questions than answers. Amen. As we consider the life of Job, Job was the richest man in the East one day. Job had 7 sons and 3 daughters. And in one day, Job lost everything. And Job said, the Lord giveth, and the Lord taketh away. Amen. Job didn't understand why, and he couldn't figure it out, and he couldn't put his hand exactly on why God did what he did. But he said, I know that my Redeemer lives. Hallelujah. And you know, today is Resurrection Sunday. We all know that our Redeemer lives. And because he lives, we can face tomorrow. Job said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord has given, the Lord has taken away, and
blessed be the
name. And trouble, he worshiped. Amen. We got to learn to get a hold of God in our trials and our tests. And we need to learn to worship. Amen. Lord, have your own way. Lord, however you have to move, just do it. Amen. And you know, that's our train of thought. I got so many scriptures today. Amen. But I know a lot of y'all said, we want to get out here and go eat. Amen. But you know, as I was just sitting there and listening to the praise, sing, just a feeling that so many of us have so much uncertainty in our lives. We don't know which way to turn, we don't know what to do, and we need help. Amen. Our help coming from the Lord. So even though I told you that we're going to go to Joel chapter 3 first. Amen. Is it all right if we have a little Bible study this afternoon? Amen. Because the Bible says wisdom is the principal thing, therefore again, but in all our getting, we need an understanding. Amen. So if it doesn't turn out exactly like it should, we're trying to be led by God to do the right thing. Amen. So we're going to start off with verse 11. Actually, we don't want to read all of it. Let's start off with verse 12 to verse 14 of Joel, as you said, in chapter 3. Amen. Verses 11 through Joel, J-O-E-L, Joel. Amen, chapter 3. I think we're going to start with verse 11. We read verses 12, 13, and 14, because there are a lot of scriptures that we're going to touch on, and our purpose in doing this is, Lord, we need direction. Verse 12 reads, let the heathen be wakened, and come up to the valley of Jehoshaphat, for there will I sit to judge all the heathen round about. Put thee in the sickle, for the harvest is ripe. Come, get you down, for the press is full, the fast overflow, for their wickedness is great. Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision, for the day of the Lord is near in the valley. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the reading of your word. Lord, we thank you for the songs and testimony. Lord, most of all, we thank you for your anointing and for the word of God. For we acknowledge that your word is quick and is powerful. It is able to discern the thoughts and the intents of our heart. Now, Lord, we ask you to speak to those thoughts and intents on this afternoon. Lord, write the vision and make it plain so that he may run and read it. And for this, thank you, can we all say in Jesus' name.
Jesus' name.
Amen. You may be seated. Verse 14 reads, amen. After verse 12 says, God is going to place us all in a situation. The heathen was talking about the nations to be judged. It was sitting in a situation to be judged. And Joel goes on to say in verse 13 that he's going to start to separate. We put the sickle into the harvest, that's a separation. Amen. God is separating the good from the bad. He separates the wheat from the chaff. Amen. Then he concludes by saying this in verse 14, multitudes, multitudes. Amen. And that's what I feel so led of God for us this afternoon. Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decisions. Amen. The decision that we make can either be critical, which means they can be for the better or they can be for the worse. Amen. The decisions that we make today, they will be for the better or for the worse. Amen. And the scripture says concerning our decision making and our direction, that if we would acknowledge God in all, A-L-L seems to be a small word, but it encompasses everything. We should acknowledge God in all of our ways. Now there are some times when we say, well, I know what to do. So in this situation, I don't really have to ask God or anybody else, because I've done this so many times before. It says, but we are to trust in the Lord with all of our heart and then acknowledge God in all of our ways. Amen. God never intends for us to direct our path. For the path of a good man are what? Ordered by the Lord. So we need a valid decision. Lord, what do I do? What decision do I make? Which direction do I make? What do I do, Lord? Because I don't know what to do. Amen. Now let's go to Jeremiah chapter 10. Now, a lot of these scriptures we don't have ready, but we're going to go with the Spirit. Amen. Because there are needs that need to be met. I can't do it. You can't do it. But I guarantee you one thing. God sits high and he looks low. And the Bible says he judges in the hearts of men. So our desire today is, Lord, speak, for indeed thy servant heareth. So we're going to go to Jeremiah chapter 10. And for us, amen. So, well, why do we have to acknowledge God? Why do we have to depend on God for direction? And if you say, you know, I've been doing this, some of us have been around for 20 years, and some 30, some 40, some 50, some 60, and some in between all of that. And we feel as though, well, I've done this long enough to know what to do. Amen. There are times that we don't acknowledge God because we make our decision based on our past. But Jeremiah says, oh Lord, I know, it's not a doubt, I know that the way of man is not in us. It's not in us to order our steps. It's not in us to figure out the best decision and what to do. Multitudes, multitudes are in the valley of decision. How can we as a child of God make the right decision without our Father? So he says, is not a man that walketh to direct his steps. We can't direct our steps. The reason we acknowledge God, the Bible says, know unto God all of his thoughts from the beginning. And God's thoughts are not our thoughts, and neither are God's ways our ways. So we can say, well, God do this because I just know it. But did you ask him? Because God is not a God that mocks prayer. The Bible says, if we ask, we shall receive. If you seek, ye shall knock, and it shall be opened unto you. And then to show you that God in directing our step will not give us something to hurt us, he said, if you ask for bread, God will not give you an imitation that looks like bread. He won't give you a stone. Amen. If you ask God for a fish, God won't give you something that looks like a fish. He won't give you a serpent. And if you ask God for an egg, he won't give you something that will hurt you like a scorpion. Amen. He said, our Heavenly Father will give good things to them that ask. If we are not in God and doing the things that we need to do, is the fault in God or is in us trusting him with all of our hearts? Amen. Is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. Our direction comes from God. When is the last time that you ask God, oh God, I need a decision, I have to make a decision, and I don't want to make my road harder than it has to be. So Lord, I need you to direct my steps. Lord, order my steps. Psalm 37. Many, many are in the valley of decision. Amen. Don't know what to do or how to do it. We're going to start with verse 3 of Psalm 37. Trust in the Lord. Amen. Who are you trusting in? And people have this strange notion to say, well, I can't really trust in God because I tried that before and it didn't work. If it didn't work, it wasn't God. Because God will never let us down. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shall thou dwell in the land, and verily you shall be. Well, a little later when he explained it, David said, I was young, and now I'm old. Never have I seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed bear your bread. So you just keep doing good. You do your part, and we have the assurance that God will do his part. Verse 4 reads, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Amen. So we must trust in the Lord. Then we have to delight in the Lord, and then God will order ourselves. Many trust in God, but we don't delight in God. We don't allow the God of our salvation to have the full preeminence in our lives. Amen. We get confused and don't know what to do. Lots of times we fight against God because we're trying to discern the mind of God with our own abilities. Isaiah said, our thoughts are not his thoughts. And to show you how vastly different they are, he said, as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are our thoughts towards his thoughts, to our thoughts, and his ways to our ways. So Lord, I need you to order my steps. But how can God order your steps if you don't trust him? Amen? How can God direct your step when you don't trust him? We say, well, I'm afraid that if I ask God, he might tell me this. You don't trust God. How can you say, I'm afraid to ask God to lead me, but I'm afraid of the answer that he might give? Amen? Now let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 30. Amen. And I try to go through these scriptures as fast as we can. But what we're saying this afternoon, valley of decision. Multitudes in the valley of decision. We all have some decisions to make. Your decision that you make could be for the better or it could be for the worse. Amen. It's always for the worse when you leave God out. But when you incorporate God in it, then God will begin to order your steps. Amen. I saw a preacher preaching one time. He said, when God was ordering my steps, I thought I should go to the left. And God did me like he did Balaam, and he moved me to the right. I thought I should go forward. Then God did me like he did Balaam. He turned me around. That's why the songwriter said, he picked me up, he turned me around, and my God placed my feet, hallelujah, on solid ground. So you don't have no failure to fear God, but you got to trust. Amen. Deuteronomy chapter 30, and we're going to start with verse 15. This is when Israel had come out of Egypt and they had been on the wilderness journey. They had floundered and made so many mistakes. Oh, yeah. Amen. And every time they made a mistake, God would forgive them and give them another chance. And they would turn around and do it all over again. Amen. So this is what Moses tells them. He says, this is God. He says, see, I have set before this day life and good. But you must make a decision because you have life and good and death and evil. So that is a decision to be made. The next verse reads, in that I command thee this day to love and to keep his commandments and his statutes and judgment, that thou mayest live and get blessed. How can we be blessed outside of God's will? How can we be blessed walking according to the integrity and the desire of our heart? So to be blessed and to live and to multiply, we got to stay in God. And we got to trust him. He says, multiply, and the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land whither thou goest to possess it. But if thine heart, and I'm afraid that's what the devil has done to so many great child and saints of God. Their hearts are not following and turning to God, but their hearts are turning away from God. Amen. They're saying the right things with their mouth. They have the right talk. They have the right action. But Jesus said, you're drawn nigh unto me with your lips, but your hearts are so far from me. Amen. I'm afraid in our society today, our hearts are getting further away from God. We serve God with lip service and eye service, but not from the integrity of our hearts. Well, how can God lead you when you don't allow him to help you? Yes. Amen? Yes. But shall be drawn away and worship other gods and serve them. I denounce unto you this day that ye shall surely perish. When we don't get God involved, some people said, I'm afraid we're going to go to the lake. Get God involved. And that ye shall not prolong your days upon the land whither thou goest, thou passest over Jordan to possess it. I call heaven and earth to record. Amen. This is a record against you. That I have set before you life and death, blessings and cursing. There before us, we have decisions to make. We're in the valley. Lord, which direction do I take? Do I take the direction of life and blessings? Or do I take the way of curses and wickedness and evil? Only we can make that decision. So Moses said, therefore choose life. We all this afternoon have to make a choice. What choice will you make? Choose life that thou and thy seed may live. Joshua chapter 24. We have a choice to make. We can choose life and blessings, or we can choose cursing and evil. You and I have to make a decision. Well, when you walk outside of God, how can you make the right decision? When you walk contrary to God's word and will, how can God bless you? How can you be blessed outside of God when the Bible says that God discerns the thoughts and the intents of our heart? Amen. Let's go to Joshua chapter 24. And actually, the 24th verse, I'm not going to read it all, but just to give you history, Joshua is dealing with the people of God from the other side of the flood. He gives them their whole history of failing God and being on God's side and how God has delivered them and how God has made way and how the God is the God of their salvation. Then he goes to verse 15 and he says it this way. Verse 15, if it seem evil unto you to, you must make a choice. You have a decision to make. How can God help you when you don't acknowledge him? How can God direct you when you leave God out? So he said, if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will. The choice is yours. Just like Adam and Eve were put in the garden, and God told them, you make a choice. If you choose the right and the good, you can live forever. But if you choose to go contrary to my will and word, then sin lieth at the door, and at that very point, you will begin to die. It's better than a decay and a And what did they do? They made the choice based on their own intellect and not in obedience to God's word. And as a result of that, we work hard every day, men and ladies too, because that was the penalty for disobeying God. And then they said, you men don't understand what it's like to have a baby. That's not our penalty. Amen. That is a penalty as a result of disobedience. Every disobedience received a just recompense of reward. Therefore, we are to give the more earnest heed to the things that we have. Somebody laughing. I forgot about that. We are to give the more earnest heed to the things that we've heard, lest at any time we let them slip. We have a choice. Your choice that you make, you can't blame it on anybody but you. Amen. So he goes on to say, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But this is my testimony. Hallelujah. I said, this is my testimony. Chapter 14. We do understand there are pressures in life. Yes. Amen. Sometimes it's hard to make the right decision because we consider too many things and we leave God out. We consider so much, but we leave God out. Amen. And I'm just trying to concise everything because we just can't go through it all. But let's start off here. We're not going to deal with the excuses, though that's our biggest problem today. If you read verses 15 through 24, is that they were dealing with excuses. But let's go to verse 25. On your own time, please read verses 15 through 24, because the Lord says he bade men to come to the supper, like he bids us to come up. He said, but one by one they began to make excuses. Lord, I can't do this because of this. And Lord, I can't do this because of that. I can't do it because of him. And I can't do it because of her. And you don't know what they've done to me. So this is what the Lord said, verse 25. And there went great multitudes with him. And he turned and said unto them, if any man come to me, we can't go to God any kind of way. Well, Lord, I thought I'd do it this way. God said, if any man comes to me, I'm going to give you some guidelines for you to follow. The choice is yours. You're in the valley of decision. You must make the choice. And it means to prefer above or to prefer instead of God. If you put anything before God, this is what this word it means. It means your preference, your priority, are to put God after this. Amen? He said, if any man would prefer his father above me, if any man or woman would prefer their mother before me, if you would prefer your wife or your husband before God, what are you doing? You put them, God says, before me. You don't have to say amen, but it's okay. And your children. He said, if you put them what? Before me. I would have did it long. No, God said, I must be number one. You can put nothing else before God in your decision making. And he goes on to say, and your own family, brothers and sisters. It didn't say not to love them. This word hate once again means to put before God, to place in the stead of God. And not only that, but your own life. Your own life. You can't put it before who? God. He said, if you do any of this, if you make me second nature, he cannot be my disciple. Amen? Next verse reads, he tells, and whosoever does not bear his and come after me cannot be my disciple. Amen. Go to Luke chapter 16. God has a plan of direction for all of us. Well, how can we be God's disciples when we keep putting ourselves in the way? He said, not even your own life. You can't have that before me. So, well, how do I not put my own desire, my own will, my own way before God? Delight thyself in the Lord. Amen. Somebody said, well, I delight in the pastor, the sister, pastor. No. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he'll give you the desire in your heart. I ain't doing it, brother. The fault is not in God. If you ain't doing it, you're doing it to do it some more. You need to do it even greater. Because when the man waits, please hire God. Amen. You don't have to worry about pleasing a man, a woman, a job, a boss. But when our ways please the Lord, he makes even our enemies. Hallelujah. Amen. If he's going to make your enemies be at peace, wouldn't it be fair to assume that he would make everything else all right? We're in the valley of decisions. Our decision we make can be for the better or for the worse. Now, the Word of God is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of our heart. So as God's Word is coming forward now, each and every last one of us, however many is it, God is discerning your thoughts and my thoughts. He's discerning your heart and my heart. He's discerning your intents and the contents of what you receive. So if we receive with meekness, his engrafted word is able to save our souls. Amen. But when we resist, when we fight against God, how can God help us? We can't fight against God. Luke chapter 16. Amen. I'm not going to go through all the scriptures because the more I go, the more it comes. And y'all want to go eat y'all's good Sunday meal, right? Okay, take off. Amen.
This is
nobody can say amen. That's a good thing. Too late. Amen. Let me see. Like I said, once again, I'm going to go through all the scriptures. Luke chapter 16, and we're going to go through, I hope I'm in the right chapter, 16. Let's start with verse 10 of Luke chapter 16. We're making what? Decisions. Amen. Your decision you make will either bless you or promote you, or it will hinder you and it will hurt you. Our decisions. How can you make a decision without God? I was speaking to someone recently. They said, well, how do I know when God is leading me and directing me? Because his word will back up our decision. Not his one scripture, his word. Amen. We back up our decision. Well, just as an example of his word, some people say, well, the Bible doesn't say that we can't drink, we can't smoke, we can't do that. Amen. It's not in the Bible. No, it's not. But it does say in Proverbs 21, wine is a mocker, and strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is what?
Not wise.
So if it says it's not wise, then what does that mean about drinking?
I know, I have somebody, I hope you're like, I don't know if y'all drink or not, I'm just telling you what the Bible says.
Then eternal in Ephesians, it says, no drunkard has any inheritance in the kingdom of God. So when you read those two scriptures, and there's a whole lot of others, you can read Proverbs 23, and Isaiah has lots of them. And when you read all of those, what would be the common consent about drinking? Right? It didn't say don't do it, but if it's not wise, it's going to take you in the wrong direction. One of the faults that God had in Isaiah with the priest is they were all drunk. He couldn't help nobody. So he condemned them.
So somebody found one scripture and said, well, they said they got drunk. Well, okay, that's one scripture. What did the rest say?
That's how God leads us. The word will, it back up the word, because it's here a little, there a little, precept upon precept, line upon line, that it may lead us. But when you don't follow God's word, it's in your stumble back and you'll fall and you'll be broken. Amen? So you say, well, I don't like the way
we ain't preach. All I want to preach is the word. Amen. That's all I can preach. So if you want something else, you gotta go somewhere else. Cause I'm not gonna sugarcoat it. I'm not gonna bring you up. Cause you know what God tells me? He said, if you get up there and make everybody happy, and they wind up lost, I'm gonna require their blood in your hand. But if you warn them, and they make a decision contrary, then I'm gonna require their blood in their hand. So I don't preach like nobody else preach. I preach what God gives me, because I have to ask you for a clear conscience of God. Amen. So if you get it, if you want something else, you gotta go somewhere else, because I'm gonna tell you like this. Come on. But when I lay down at night, I wanna know if I go on and expire like Sister Maggie, is nothing between me and the Savior. I'm gonna hear and say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. How can you be faithful if you don't do what God tells you to do? Right? Everybody trying to go to heaven and do it their way. Well, you're faithful to you, but that's not God. All right. He that is what?
Faithful.
Well done, thou good and
faithful.
Every last one of us know how faithful we've been to God. See, I want to get this. You know, we make up a whole lot of excuses, like we read earlier. Excuses, excuses, excuses. In Luke chapter 14, excuses. We make up a lot of excuses, but God knows. God knows if you had the opportunity to be faithful. God knows if you had the opportunity to do the right thing. Somebody said, well, you know, I had a bad day yesterday, but I couldn't come to church. Well, did you go to work? Yeah, I got to go to work. Yeah, I got to pay my bills. Huh? 24 hours didn't go by, you were too dead to get out of bed and go to church.
Come on now.
But you woke up early and was running to work.
Come on.
Now I'm saying, stay home in this church and work. But what I'm saying is, we know if we're faithful. You know, I know, we can make up a whole lot of excuses, but they won't wash with God because God knows. He that is faithful in that which is.
Yes.
A lot of us, I want to go preach to me and do all of that. God said, well, just do the little stuff first. Amen. You know, before you say amen, say yourself. Right. Amen. Before you go around telling everybody else what to do, walk in my steps. Before you can help anybody else, then you have to help yourself. So God said, be faithful in that which is least. Also in much, and he that is unjust in the least is also unjust in much. Our decisions. If therefore you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon is riches and possessions. Anything we have in conflict with God. That's what mammon is. There's nothing wrong with having riches. But when the riches are in conflict or brings about a separation between you and God, it's all right. Amen. Well, I have to go to work. Well, you have a decision in your making. I can either plan my job to go be faithful to God, or I can try to make some more money in this church. God said, if you're not faithful in that which is, somebody said, leave our money alone. It's in the word. Amen. So what I'm saying is this. You have a decision. Make a decision that gives you God's favor. And don't make a decision contrary to God's word. Well, I can go on a night shift and miss church. Because on a night shift, they give you a few extra, like 50 cents extra, right? Amen. I used to work, yes. So not there. I know. I love the night shift. Because I knew when I went on 4 to 12 and 12 to 8, I got more money. It has not changed. So if I work days, I make less money. Yeah, but if you work days, are you going to be able to be faithful to church and God? Amen? Amen. Faithful in that which is least. I don't need nobody alone because I ain't getting no help out there. Who will commit you the true riches? God said, if you're not faithful, even in that that you have, I'm not going to give you anything better till you learn to conquer where you presently are. I made $30,000. God, can you help me to make $100,000? God said, what are you doing with what you presently have? God said, I'm not going to move you to
show faithfulness where you presently are. Decisions, decisions, decisions. He said, and if you have not been faithful in that which is another man, who shall give you that which is your own? No servant can serve. You can't do it. Well, I'm gonna split my time up between both. The scripture says simply, you cannot serve. You can only have one master. Amen. You cannot serve two masters. Well, I want to go to heaven, but God, can I tell you how I want to do it? God says, no. I'm going to tell you how to do it, then just be faithful in that which is least. Just be faithful in what you hear. God said, then I'll give you the greater. But if you're not faithful in that which is least, God said, how can I bless you to move up higher? Amen. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, that means to have a preference, or he will hold the one and then he says in plain English, you cannot serve God and your possessions, your wealth cannot come before God. You cannot obey two masters. This afternoon in your decision making, you can't please husband, wife, father, mother, sister, brother, or even your own self above me, because you have made them your master. Amen? And you cannot serve two masters. You can only serve one master. In other words, that master has to have the preeminence. Next verse. And the Pharisees also who were greedy, love money. Thank God we don't worry about all that money stuff, but those Pharisees had some issues. Heard all these things and they turned up their nose and scuffed and scorned and mimicked God. Thank God. Y'all ain't doing that to me, right? Nobody's riding me, right? All right, you know, he has an answer for you too. And he said unto them, ye are they which justify yourselves. Amen. If you don't give heed to his word, you just justify yourself. When you don't become obedient, when you're not faithful, you just justify yourself. You know, you leave out of the church, your conscience, or you leave out of your house, whatever, your conscience is condemning you, so you gotta get somebody to agree with you real fast. Just try to justify yourself. So I want to call somebody who ain't gonna tell me the truth. Because the Bible says a friend loveth at all time, and the kisses of an enemy are deceitful, but the wounds of a friend, they are faithful. A friend will tell you, no, don't do that. You're going to make the wrong decision. Amen. But your enemy says, what are we going to do that? Faithful are the wounds of a friend. Our problem is we don't have enough friends in our life. We know we're doing the wrong thing, and when we're doing the wrong thing, they help us. You don't need that. You don't need that. You don't need anybody to help you do wrong, because you can do wrong by yourself. So the Bible says, faithful are the wounds of a what? But the kisses of an enemy, they are deceitful. Amen. And a friend loveth at all times. You got to get it right. Say, but God knoweth. Justify, you know, I got everybody in the church food. God know your heart. God knows the motives. God knows why you did it. Everybody else is food, and you got a great smoke screen up. But God knows your heart. Why did you do it? Oh, I did it for this, I did it for that, I did it for that. Now, when we talk real fast, you're nervous, slow it down. That's a sign that you're wrong. Amen. Unless you're just a fast talker all the time anyway. All right? But it said, God knows your heart. You're justifying your poor decision. You're justifying your spiritual inadequacies. God says, I was right there with you. I know you had the opportunity to be faithful to me. God says, I'm reading your hearts. Because the
scripture says concerning our hearts, there's no secret thing. So I said, this is supposed to be Sunday, sunrise service, Resurrection Sunday. We're supposed to be shouting and jumping. No, we're supposed to be jumping. When we come down, we got to still walk straight. Does us no good to play church. Does us no good to go through the motion. Because it says God knows our hearts. And when we get in the habit of pleasing people instead of God, the Bible said, don't do it with eye service as a what? Men pleasers, but do it in your sincerity of your heart, fearing God. The challenge this afternoon is what's in our hearts. If your heart is sincere, you do the right thing. Amen. For that which is highly esteemed, amen. All those people you're trying to get on your side, all the wrong things you're doing to get man's approval or to appease them, that which is esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of God. So Lord, I need to get it right. I'm going to just hit a couple more scriptures and then we'll be finished. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Well, what are you trying to say? Do what pleases God. Amen. Don't do it as eye service, as what kind of people? Pleasers? Men pleasers. But do it from the sincerity of your heart, fearing God. When we please God, everything else is going to be all right. No, that's why. When I have to make a decision, I'm human like anybody else, but I can't make mistakes. But when I have to make a decision, even though I know the fight and the wrong, I can't make my decision based on the wrong that I've done, that I've received. Because the Bible says, render not what? Evil for evil, nor really for really. It says, be not overcome with evil, but be overcome with? Y'all get a lot of scriptures today. Y'all want to write all these things? I yell at you later because you ain't going to keep up. Anyway, it says, be not overcome with evil, but be overcome with good. So when you have to make your decision, a valid decision, are you going to make that decision based on what someone has done to you or what based on what God's word requires of you? Amen? Based on what you feel or based on what God says. Well, you don't know the hurt. You don't know the pain. You don't know how I suffered this. It's just eating me alive from the inside out. Don't render evil for evil, nor railing for railing. Don't be overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. Then, when we go, we'll be able to come to 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 12. When we do it this way, and you know, like I said, there's a lot of scriptures that you all can read in between. But God judges all of us based on our what? Hearts. Jeremiah chapter 17 verse 10 said, God will judge the fruit of your doings, which means our hearts. He doesn't look at our degrees. He doesn't look at how much money you make. He doesn't look at where you live. He doesn't look at your job, your position. He looks at our hearts. That's the only thing that counts. Paul said, for our rejoicing is this, the testimony of our conscience. If your conscience or your heart condemn you, you cannot rejoice. How can you have a rejoicing testimony when your heart, your conscience is eating you up? You know, well, we had a decision to make. There were 99 that went wrong, and I would have been my eyeball if I made a decision to do the right thing. Who are you faithful to? The crown unto God. One in God is a majority every time. Amen. You have millions. Without God, you're always in the minority. You got to have God. He said, for our rejoicing is this, the testimony of our conscience that in and what? Godly sincerity. There's no hiding place. That testimony is in simplicity and godly sincerity.
I didn't try to make it up place, and I didn't try to hide it. God saw my heart. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 24. Godly sincerity. I'm only going to need a couple more verses. Y'all can stone me later.
Good word.
Well, the longer I keep you here, the less you have to wait in line and get your food anyway if you're going out to eat.
Amen.
But you know what I said? What we're saying today, it's time to be right.
You know,
all of this faking and hiding and lying and sugarcoating and walking in front of the saints, right? And God said, I'm just reading your heart. I'm looking at you for who you are. God said, no longer can you justify yourself because I'm reading your what? Heart. Verse 24 said, grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be to all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. We need to stay on God's side. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 8. This, we're going to close with this scripture. Deuteronomy chapter 8. We are in the valley of decisions. We have choices to make. They can either be for the better or they can be for the worse. They can be for the better or for the worse. I need to go start with verse 1, and we will go through these verses real fast. Amen. If you're a friend, don't get mad and don't come back. Because I don't preach every Sunday. There's some other people that are sharp with them. Yes, I know that's just, yeah. I don't preach every Sunday, and I don't do this every Sunday, but you know what? It's time for us to reason together. If you don't ever hear another message, you'll never be able to say, God, I didn't know that. You will know. Because the Bible says, to him that guesses to do good, to him that knoweth to do good. If we put it out there and you know to do it, then you don't do it, that's on you. It's not on us. Amen?
Amen.
Verse 1 reads, all the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye. Can you leave some of them out? Can you choose the one that please you? He says what? All the commandments. I command you to say, shall ye observe and what? It's not good enough just to know it, but you must do it. You must put that application of the word into action in your life, that you may live and. So if I'm disobedient to God's word and commandments, I will not properly live and I will not be blessed. And go in and possess the land which the Lord swore unto your fathers. Next verse. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness to humble thee and whatever you have, God's trying to prove you, to know what was in thy mouth. To know what everybody else thought about you. God did this to know what was in your heart. And whether thou would keep his commandments or not, and you can read about it in 1 John chapter 5, saying his commandments are not grievous. Whatever God commands, we have to do it. And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna which thou knewest not, neither thy father know that he may make thee to know that man does not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth. Well, are you living by every word, or have you dissected God's word? I'll do this, but I won't do this. You must live by every word of God that proceeds out of his mouth. Next verse. He says, thy raiment wax not old. The next verse. Thou shalt also consider it in thy heart, because God loves us. God doesn't want us. Do you think Jesus, with all that suffering on the cross for us to not make it. He suffered, brothers and sisters, that we might make it. Not that we will fail. So he said, that a man, as a man chasteneth his son, so the Lord thy God chasteneth thee. And the scripture said that no chasing of the present seems to be joyous. It's not good to be chasing. But after you learn and yield the peaceable fruits of righteousness, when you go through it, when you allow God to do it, it's righteousness. Stop fighting God. Therefore, thou shalt keep the commandment of the Lord thy God to walk in your ways and fear your chef. I just want to see you all paying attention. His ways and fear him. For the Lord thy God brings thee into a good land, a land of brooks and waters, of fountains and depths that spring out of valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley and fire. Next verse. Go back down to verse 10. When thou hast obtained all these things, after you are blessed, after God has given you the job you want, the husband and the wife and the children, the car, the job, after you've obtained all that you wanted from God, he says this, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good which he has. Bless God. How do you bless God? By delighting yourself in God. The next verse read, beware that thou what? Forget not. When God has done all these things for you, don't get so high and mighty that you leave God out. Beware lest thou forget the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments and judgment and his statutes which I command thee this day. And that's enough, though there are other scriptures that are coming. The essence of everything is this: do what's right in the eyes of God. If you're going to make a decision, keep God involved. There, we make, as a praise team, the ministers come forward, the altar team and the ministers come forward, we make very, very many decisions, but we fail to acknowledge God. We just do it, you know, and sometimes we get angry and we just do something. Or we get frustrated and we act out of our own will and our own ways. It's time to acknowledge God in the valley of decisions. Many, many, the Bible said, in the valley of decisions, choose ye this day whom ye shall serve. The choice is yours. Amen. Either we can do what's right on God's side, or we can continue to feed ourselves of man.